So tonight I want to talk about metaphor, a difficult person. Of all the categories, this is the one I think is the most interesting, can be the most fruitful in terms of our lives, but also, as the name implies, difficult. Traditionally, back in the day, instead of calling them a difficult person, they were called the enemy. But it's a little too harsh a word. We all have difficult people in our lives. It's just natural, right? It could be that relative that whenever you get together at a family gathering, there's this one relative that just drives you nuts. Now, whatever their views, how they speak, how they dress, who knows? You know, they're rude and they get drunk, who knows what it is, but there's something about them that just irks you. Or it could be someone at work who tries to be domineering and sort of monopolize things and take all the credit. Or it could be someone in the family, more in your immediate family, or it could be like a neighbor, you know, that neighbor who just doesn't get along with everybody else. You know, who's always complaining about you not raking your leaves or something, you know, it's like we all have neighbors sometimes like that. And there's also people in our past, people that maybe we haven't seen at all for the last 20 years, who knows? But they're part of those stories we tell ourselves about how so-and-so said such and such or did such and such. And then, you know, they were just mean to me, or those stories that we spin over and over and over again. These are also difficult people, even though they're not in, maybe even in your life, maybe they're not even alive. But for you, they're still difficult people. And so the first thing we have to understand is our habitual reactions to these people is often aversive. You know, could be judgment, could be anger, could be fear, but they're all these aversive emotions arise around these people. And what this practice is trying to do is to sort of break that habitual pattern of aversive thought slash behavior to one of wholesomeness, to one where we can have thoughts of loving kindness towards these people. Not easy. I want to read something. I've got a couple of things I want to read from Sharon Salzberg's book. This is about anger, which is often associated with the difficult person in our minds. There is a confusion in contemporary society about how to relate to feelings of aversion. For example, it is difficult to understand the difference between feeling anger and venting anger. When we undertake a spiritual practice, it is important that we open to all that arises, that we recognize, acknowledge, and accept everything we feel. We've had a long conditioning of self-deception, of keeping certain things outside the sphere of our awareness, or of repressing them. Overcoming our denial and repression and opening to states of aversion can be very healing, but in the process, we may pay the price of becoming lost in anger if, through misunderstanding, we indulge it. Most contemporary psychological research shows that when one expresses anger quite often in one's life, it leads to the easy expression of anger. Expressing anger becomes a habit. Many people assume that we have a certain amount of anger inside, that if we don't want to keep it inside, we have to put it outside. Somehow, if it's outside, it's not going to be inside anymore. Anger seems like a solid thing. But in fact, we discover, if we observe carefully, that anger has no solidity. In reality, it is merely a conditioned response that arises and passes away. It is crucial for us to see that when we identify with these passing states as being solid and who we truly are, we let them rule us. And we are compelled to act in ways that cause harm to ourselves and others. Our opening needs to rest on the basis of non-identification, recognizing aversion or anger in the mind as transitory is very different from identifying with it as being who we really are and then acting on it. This is one of the key points in the Buddhist teachings when it comes to dealing with emotional energy. You know, you're not wrong if you feel anger. It's when you get caught by the anger and then you act out from it. That's when things start to go off the rails. But the actual feeling of anger is just another arising that's just a temporary thing. It's not you. It's there for a while and then it's gone. If you let it be, if you look at it. Then we come to loving kindness itself for a difficult person. One of these people I made a list of earlier. And one thing you have to understand is loving kindness for the difficult person is, in a sense, an act of forgiveness. Forgiveness does, I'm going to repeat this, I'll repeat it several times. Forgiveness does not mean condoning. It doesn't say it was okay, or it's okay that they act that way, or they said that, or they did that. It doesn't say that. Forgiveness is basically saying, I'm tired of being caught in this pattern of afflictive emotion, because all these strong emotions of aversion, anger and fear, jealousy, they're all really unpleasant. I'm tired of being caught in those emotions yet again. And if I can, in the process of wishing that person well, if I can shift those patterns to ones that are wholesome, then all that suffering goes away over time. Emphasis on over time. Takes a while. There's an interesting quote. This is Desmond Tutu. Remember, Desmond Tutu was the Archbishop of South Africa, who was very strongly against apartheid and was very instrumental in ending it, and then was very instrumental in trying to bring about reconciliation between the Black population and the white people who had run the show for so long. I think this is really a great thing he says here. However, when I talk of forgiveness, I mean the belief that you can come out the other side a better person. Isn't that an interesting statement? However, when I talk of forgiveness, I mean the belief that you can come out the other side a better person. A better person than one being consumed by anger and hatred. Remaining in that state locks you in a state of victimhood, makes you almost dependent on the perpetrator. If you can find it in yourself to forgive them, then you are no longer chained to the perpetrator. Chained to the perpetrator. That's what happens with these repetitive stories. We keep telling these stories over and over again. It's like being chained to this person. And if we can shift the story, if we can shift the energy to one of loving kindness, those chains get broken. And we all had things happen in our lives, difficult, unpleasant things that people have said and done. It's just part of being alive. And I'm not trying to, in any sense, at this point, minimize how horrible some of those things might have been. Not for one second do I want to minimize them. But we have these stories, and we tell these stories, and they repeat over and over and over again. We keep reliving those times when things were really difficult, unpleasant. And we are bound by these stories, caught in our anger, or whatever the emotion is. I mean, we relive the anger over and over and over again in our minds and in our bodies. It's really hard on the body. We're letting ourselves be chained to the story and the person involved, even if they are gone from our lives or even dead. So in this sense, this shifting of the energy doesn't mean that you have to love this person in the conventional sense of the word love, or even like this person. You just want to wish them well. And it may be that that's the best you can ever do with these people, is wish them well. And basically, choosing to do this simply means that we've given up all hope of a different past. I think it's a great definition. It simply means that we have given up all hope of a different past. We retell those stories. You notice when you retell those stories, sometimes it's like we come up with the variations. Well, if I'd only said this, then, you know, blah, 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 and they would have said that. But it's almost the same ending, no matter what. And it's like, it's because we haven't given up, somehow we can change the past. But if I can give up any sense of ever having had a different past, what a relief. What a relief to simply not be to have any hope of a different past. It's gone. The past is over. We can't change it. We never will. It's just done. Now, I want to be a little bit personal here. I found for this particular part of the practice, for me, has been very useful. The first time I did a month-long metta retreat, where I just basically, I was on retreat and all I did was metta, literally from when I woke up to when I went to sleep for a month. That's all I was doing. And I had worked with this difficult person who had been difficult for me for quite some time. There's someone in the group of people I was associated with, and there's this one person who just, you know, just didn't. I would get into arguments, I'd get into, you know, hissy fits, whatever. It just, there's something about this person and me that would just clash. It wasn't that this person was bad and I was good. It was just like it was like oil and water. Oil and water. And of course, in my mind, often it was like, they're bad, I'm good. I'm right, they're wrong. That was what was going on a lot. And of course, now there's that spin of anger and what's wrong with them and blah, 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 blah. And I actually worked with this particular difficult person for the entire part of the retreat where I was working with the difficult person, the last 10 days or so. And then when I came home, I met was my only practice for quite a while, and I continued to work with this person, this difficult person. And things really changed. It was like magic to me at the time. It was like, and it wasn't that this person changed. This person was still being who they were and acting and speaking the way they did. But I just wasn't getting hooked anymore. I wasn't reacting anymore. That reactive pattern I was in with this person just stopped. Not completely. I still got caught in. Even now, this is, I'm talking 10, 12 years ago. Even now, sometimes I'll be sitting and this story will come up and I see myself getting hooked and I go, slow down. I catch myself. But it's like, it's a very powerful thing, these energies you have with these people. And it just, for me, shifted. And it was like, it didn't really change my relationship with this person significantly. It just changed how I felt in my life. I wasn't being caught by this person. And so I wasn't getting caught in those stories anymore. I wasn't reacting anymore. And it was like this huge relief. This huge relief to not have to go there anymore. And I've seen that with other difficult people I work with. That's an interesting thing about difficult people. Probably more than any other category, I've switched people. Where I've worked with someone and worked with someone and worked with someone. And then at a certain point, it's like, okay, I can't do anything more with this person. It's okay. And then by that point, something else will be going on in my life, and there'll be some other difficult person, and I'll work with them. Usually when I'm doing an intense period of practice like this, I'll pick a particular person and stick with them as my difficult person for the period of time when I'm practicing just metta, like I am right now while I teach this course. I want to read something else by Sharon Salzberg here. When our minds are full of anger and hatred towards others, in fact, we are the ones who suffer, who are actually suffering, caught in this mind state. It is not so easy to access that place inside of us which can forgive, which can love. In some ways, to be able to forgive is to let go. It's a type of dying. It is the ability to say, I'm not that person anymore, and you are not that person anymore. Forgiveness allows us to recapture some part of ourselves that we left behind in bondage to a past event. Some part of our identity may also need to die in that letting go, so that we can reclaim the energy bound up in the past. Interesting way to think of it, right? It's like often our self-identities are very much bound up in our victimhood, in those things that happened to us that were bad, that where someone else made us suffer. And I'm not saying those things don't happen. Absolutely, they do. But they become our identity. They become who we are. We solidify a self around those stories. And in letting go, in having thoughts of loving kindness towards that person, that old self disappears, has to fall away. And that might actually be difficult. Interesting way to think about it. There's also, I want to tell you a story. This is another retreat where I wasn't actually practicing metta, but one of the teachers had given a talk quite similar to this one, actually, about metta for the difficult person. In the evening, and in the morning, every morning, the person who gave the talk in the evening would then be the person who answered questions in the morning. And the morning would be like after breakfast. There would be a question and answer time. And so this is a big sit. There's like 90 people sitting in the room, plus the teachers and staff and things. And the teacher says, are there any questions? And this woman's arms just shoots up, like, pick me. And she says, I'm trying to work with this difficult person. But the only way I can do that is to visualize them sitting in a chair way on the other side of the room. I can't visualize them close to me. And they're tied to the chair, so they can't get up. And they have a gag in their mouth, so they can't speak. And, you know, this sort of ripple of titters went through the hall. Like, oh my God, this is crazy, right? And the teacher, in answer to her question, and basically her question was, is this okay? The answer to the question he gave in two words, good start. Better that image in her mind and thoughts of loving kindness than to be consumed by what is obviously an extremely difficult situation in her life that has engendered this incredible sense of fear and anger. So that's the, and if that's the only way she can deal with it to begin with, good start was the, an excellent answer. Because maybe one day, as she's practicing more and more with this person, she'll feel comfortable taking the gag out of their mouth. Maybe even be able to untie them so they're not tied to the chair. But maybe they always have to stay way on the other side of the room in a chair. And that's okay. We all, you have to find where your edges are. And what part of what this practice does is help you define those edges in a sense. And so this is a very progressive sort of thing. One more thing about difficult people. Sometimes, no matter what you do, you can't really open yourself enough to have thoughts of loving kindness towards this person. Just, you get sort of stuck trying to do it. It just doesn't feel, you can't energetically connect with it. It just makes you feel awful. Then see if you can do this instead. Instead of having thoughts of loving kindness, see if you can form the intention to one day be able to have thoughts of loving kindness towards them, and then say the meta phrases for them. One day, I form the intention to one day be able to have thoughts of loving kindness. Because intention, remember the Buddhist teachings, intention is the key to everything. If we have wholesome intention, that's what counts. And that might be all you can do to begin with some people. Just have the intention. And that starts that chain, that breaking of that chain. So, how do you pick a difficult person to work with? It's really only two things I want to suggest. One is picking a difficult person should be easy. We all have people like this in our lives. So it's not like you're going to have to go searching for some person that's difficult for you. I'd be shocked if anybody could tell me, no, I don't have any difficult people in my life. I would be more than shocked. I'd be thinking that maybe they're just not looking very closely because they don't want to. So don't be, you know, so don't, you know, and remember that you're just picking this particular person and then maybe eventually sometime in the future you might go on to someone else. Because your feelings towards this person shift to something warm. Also, and this is very common, and I mean, this is with a standard warning, and I know some of you might just ignore this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Don't pick the most difficult person in your life to start with. Don't go there. It's so tempting. Oh, I can finally work with this lifelong, perhaps 40-year-old thing that grips my life. Just pick someone a little easier to start. You know, someone who maybe is just annoying, but not really scary and threatening or whatever. Someone that you can feel like you could successfully work with them, and it's, it would be pleasant to be able to change your attitude towards them. Okay, so that's the only advice I can give about picking a difficult person. The other thing is, and this is where we have to be really careful, don't for one second think that metaphor for a difficult person will help you solve that relationship. This is now falling directly into the near enemy of desire. I'm going to do meta for this difficult person, and then everything's going to be hunky-dory. And it's going to change the relationship. This is very dangerous territory. You just don't want to go there. In fact, and here's an interesting thing, if you have a particular difficult person, and you start, and this is someone you relate to on a regular basis, and you start, you know, doing meta for this person, and your attitude towards them changes, and you just, you know, they start up their usual stuff that used to get you going, and you just don't bite, you don't react, they might get really upset, because they feed perhaps off that negative, unpleasant energy of the relationship. And when you refuse to play that game, refuse to go there, because you know it doesn't go anywhere useful, and you're working really hard to have thoughts of loving kindness towards this person, they might get really upset. They might make the exterior of the relationship worse, almost, in the sense of they you know, up the ante of their craziness or their weirdness or their anger or their actions or words. So don't be at all surprised if that's a result. You're not going to change them. This, I keep coming back to this when I teach metta, but it's not about changing the person you're doing metta for. It's about changing you, changing your heart mind, changing your habitual patterns of unwholesomeness. And that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. You know, don't for one second think it's going to fix anything in terms of the relationship itself. It might. But if you stop reacting, maybe they'll sort of slow down and back off. Who knows? That might be the case. You know, but it could just as equally be the other. And, you know, remember what I said. It's not like you're trying to love this person or even like this person. You just want to wish them goodwill. Thoughts of loving kindness. You want them to, their life to be okay so they don't suffer as much. That's what you're wishing them. That's all. Okay. So now we'll have a practice period like we usually do. And what we're going to do is we'll do a few minutes of self. We'll do 5 minutes of either benefactor or dear friend, whichever one you find easiest, juiciest, gives you the most energy. And then 5 minutes or so with a neutral person. And then we'll move on to the difficult person. And part of working with a difficult person, to start especially, remember we've always sort of, you know, visualize the person and then went over all the things that made us choose them. Well, don't, as you're kind of about to do meta for the difficult person, go over that list of all the horrible things they ever did. That's not going in the right direction. Instead, try and think of just one thing about them that's okay. You know, maybe Most of the time, they're just horrible. But when they're with their dog, you see them how much they love this dog. Then think of them in that context. Have that be your image of them, being taking their dog for a walk, or whatever works. But try and have some wholesome thought towards them to start with. Something might be really simple, minor, but it's important that we don't, you know, in our review, call up into action all the problems we have with them. That's just reinforcing things. And we're trying to shift from reinforcing them to breaking them down, letting them calm down. The other thing, when you're dealing with a difficult person, for some people, this is like shocking the first time they do it, or many times when you do it, or certain days when you're having a tough day or whatever. It's always okay with this category in particular to go, oh, this is just overwhelming. And go back to whatever your favorite category of the other four were and reconnect with the energy of metta. Hang out there for a couple of minutes, sort of give yourself a break. And then go back and see if you can work with that difficult person again. And you might have to go through that cycle several times in one sit even. And that's skillful practice. Don't feel like, oh, I just got to hang in there and suffer. This is miserable and your mind is whirling and this is... Don't go there. Just go, okay, I need to back up and allow myself some space to sort of reconnect to that heart of loving kindness. And then go back and see how I can work with from that space with this particular person. That's skillful practice. Okay. So that's the plan, as they say. So unless you have any burning questions about this, we'll just practice. So I'll start us off as I often do, and then I'll go away, I'll turn off my mic, and we'll practice for about half an hour, and I'll cue you in at various times. So as usual, just finding that comfortable upright position. Really feel comfortable, but solid. There's this subtle balance between comfort and erectness and energetic. Bringing that image of self into the mind that you've been using, or perhaps that tune into that sense of, you know, there is a body, that overall body sense might be talked about a few times. Briefly reflect on what these phrases mean for you. And then just silently repeat. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And continue on at your own pace. We'll come back in a little while.